I have got Mark here from the Dictionary of Sydney. And Mark, today we're going to be talking about shipwrecks.
We are. I thought I would do a nice, cheery little topic for the middle of lockdown.
Well, it makes sense because the seas yesterday were, I mean, the worst we've seen in a while, right?
Yeah, they were. And that actually is what kind of put this idea in my head. And I think the seas are pretty bad today as well. So I thought, what better way to sort of drum into people that sea can be, the ocean can be dangerous than a massive shipwreck?
Yeah, this is actually a whole PSA on not jumping in your pirate ship and going out in the harbour today, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So, yeah. But we're not talking about the Dunbar, though, are we? Because that's the only shipwreck that I know about.
Well, you're not alone there, Alex, don't worry. No, we're not talking about the Dunbar, but the Dunbar is such a famous, these are interesting stories because there's such a famous wreck, the Dunbar, but that happened in 1857. So it's, 60, 70 years ago now,
yeah,
that people still know about the Dunbar. So that's the kind of shock that these things had on Sydney at the time. But what we're going to talk about, or the one we're talking about, is the ship, the Edward Loam.
Right.
Which actually wrecked in 1834, so a full 23 years earlier than the Dunbar.
Oh, okay.
And it's not one many people remember now, other than maybe a few scuba divers and some shipwreck enthusiasts, because of the Dunbar. The Dunbar actually was so tragic that it overshadowed the Edward Loam. But anyway, let's bring the Edward Loam back to light, shall we? So one of the things, it's difficult now to think about Sydney in that colonial period around ships, but really the shipping and ships, different types of ships, are the international airplanes, the 747s and the A380s and all the rest of it, of the colonial city. Everyone comes, pretty much, anyone coming to Australia, to Sydney, comes by ship.
Mm.
Lots of these ships come and go on a regular basis, so they're running fairly regularly, and so you'd see ships you knew, and you knew the captains, and so they became a bit of a fixture for the city. And there's lots of different ships. Like if you go to the airport and there's lots of different planes, there's lots of different ships too. There's big, what we call a ship. Funnily enough, not all boats on the harbour are ships. So there's ships and there's smaller barks and there's smaller brigs and there's smaller schooners, and they do all sorts of different jobs. But the ships are the big ones that are bringing migrants and everyone back and forth, as well as convicts back and forth at this time. And the Edward Loam is a reasonably new and modern vessel for the time. It's built in 1828. It's built out of a big shipyard in England, which was one of the larger shipyards at the time, which was a mob called Fishburne and Broderick, who'd built about 88 different ships over their period. So they were well established and successful shipbuilders. And the Edward Loam had been to Sydney, or been to Australia, at least twice, we think. From the record. So it ran between London and Hobart, and it would bring down general cargo and passengers as well as convicts, drop them off, and then sort of sail up the east coast to Sydney, dropping off passengers on that sort of run and picking up extra cargo, and then heading back to England, often via Timor and Indonesia and these sort of places.
Yeah, right. A fair journey, to say the least.
Yeah, a fair journey. But the other funny thing, I suppose, we think about how far and isolated Australia is. These are ships that are travelling to places. They show that Sydney as a colonial city is interconnected with the whole world as well, which is something we sometimes kind of forget.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, so this ship was, as I said, a regular visitor. People knew it. People knew the crew. And once coming by a ship is potentially quite a dangerous business because, of course, they don't have engines at this point. They're all sail. So they are completely subservient to the weather. So, if the wind dies, the ship stops, essentially. But if the wind really kicks up or there's a storm, then they can be quite a difficult thing to manage, particularly in a confined space like the harbour. So what would happen in a big storm event is ships would sit off the coast trying to sort of rock out, basically, to go over the waves and try to stay afloat. rather than make the run into the city, into Sydney, because Sydney Harbour, while it's quite deep, also has a number of hidden reefs around it, which are already kind of, people knew that this was a, you need to have some kind of experience to be coming into the harbour if it was a rough day.
Yeah.
And this is where the Edward Loam, of course, you can see where I'm going with this.
I can hear the Jaws soundtrack is starting to come up in the back of my mind while you're saying all of this.
Yeah. So one of the things that was against the Edward Loam in July 1834, when it came to Sydney for its third visit, was it had a new captain. The captain's his name's Stuart Stronnen, essentially. And this was his first time on the Edward Loam, and they came out to first to Hobart, and all good, no dramas, made it in good time, dropped off his cargo, had 36 passengers, including 14 children on board, and they were chartered to pick up some sugar from Mauritius on the way back. So that's fine, gets to Hobart, drops everyone off, picks up a few new passengers. There's seven passengers on board and about 22 crew to come up to Sydney, where they'll get more cargo and passengers and then keep going. And so they leave Hobart, and it's all nice, but they do get becalmed. So the wind drops down for 3 days, and the ship just sort of floats around in around Bass Strait and not really moving until a big strong wind picks up again going north and blows them up the coast. It makes good time to get up to Sydney. But by the time I get to Sydney, the storm is like yesterday. Essentially, so it's blowing a gale, there's a lot of wind and rain, the seas are really rough. So what the captain does, what Stronnen does, as he should, is he trims the sails, which means he sort of takes all the sails in and lets the ship sit out off the harbour, so he's not sort of risking running into any rocks. But when the sun comes up, the weather's so bad he can't actually see the entrance to the harbour, so he spends the day kind of with some sails up, tacking up and down, trying to keep away from the land, until in the early night he makes a run for it in through the heads, because it is now so rough that he can't actually keep the ship off the shore. And he's looking at the cliffs of South Head and North Head, so he thinks, if I can get inside, then I'll be sheltered at least, and we can work it out.
Yeah.
Which he does. But once he's inside, people who know the harbour, maybe might be someone out there currently listening to us in a small boat fishing, for example, in the harbour. Just inside the harbour off Middle Head, there is a reef there called Sow and Pig's Reef. And it's just a rocky kind of outcrop right in the middle of the channel. There'd been a ship that had hit it about 10 years earlier in 1824 called the Phoenix, but it hadn't sunk. But that was the first time where they'd gone, there's quite a bad navigational hazard there. So it was marked on charts and all the sort of captains knew it. And what we see is that Edward Loam comes into the harbour, the wind gets behind it and starts pushing it up the harbour, and they're heading straight for the reef.
Yeah.
And this is a bad thing. So the captain drops all the anchors in an attempt to kind of stop the ship.
Like an emergency brake, essentially.
Totally, like an emergency brake. Hitting the handbrake, really, yeah. This is.
Two feet on the brake and one on the handbrake at this point.
Yeah. And, well, as you probably know, you need to know what you're doing when you hit the handbrake. So what happens is that the anchors sort of dig in, which is fine, but the ship swings around in the wind and then gets pushed back and goes smash straight into the rocks at the base of Middle Head.
Oh, no.
And goes backwards onto those rocks and gets wedged. So the ship is now stuck fast on the rocks. Everyone's still on board, which is a good thing at this point.
Yeah.
The captain, a few seamen and a passenger try to cut away one of the boats so the passengers can get off to safety. But as they're doing this, this huge wave sweeps across the deck and it takes all those, the captain, the two seamen and another passenger, straight off, and they're drowned. They're gone.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, you can imagine panic breaks out as the water starts smashing into the ship. The problem with these ships was they're all very well if you're out at sea, but if you're actually stuck and waves are hitting them, they're made of timber, so they come apart reasonably easily, and the ship starts to smash apart. And what's sort of terrifying, not that I want to scare our breakfast listeners, but what's terrifying about it is that the wreck literally splits in half. So you have half the passengers and crew, most of them have come up on deck. And some are at the back near the rocks, and some are at the front near where the anchors are, and the boat just splits in half. And it's only held together by all the cables and ropes that hold the sails and all the rest of it up. But the problem, of course, is once the boat's in half, all the sort of cargo starts pouring out, but the front half of it just twists around and gets shattered. So everyone on the front part of it is killed immediately, and they're all drowned.
Oh, jeez.
And then it all goes crazy because it's such a dark and stormy night, quite literally. There's no other ships on the harbour, so no one's coming to their rescue. And so the waves, essentially what happens is overnight, the waves just keep rolling over and over and over the ship. Now, a lot of the crew start making fairly heroic attempts to get to shore, and they're trying to crawl down the broken masts that are now rested on the rocks and all the rest of it. It's impossible, really, to get off. Mm. One of them does get off, but then is in a wire. I mean, talk about bad luck. He actually swims towards the rocks, just grabs onto the rocks, and then a wave picks him up and puts him back on the ship.
Oh, no.
It's all very nice for him. But eventually, a couple of them do. One of them makes it to shore, and then in the morning, the light comes up, and they're seen, which is their rescue. The rescuers come to the rescue, basically. Another small ship going past sees them, and they come in towards Middlehead, and they're able to crawl under the rocks around the point, and they come around and they manage to get everyone who's still there off.
So how many people survived?
So we have, of 20, I think it was 29 on board, there's 12 passengers and crew are lost, and so 17, I think, end up surviving. So half of the people on board are killed. And this is the first time that a wreck like this has happened inside the harbour. So it's the first time a lot of people are killed on a shipwreck. And so it completely freaks the city out because...
Yeah, of course.
It's like I said, everyone's reliant on ships to get here and to get away. And while they all understand the risks, they all think, of course, once you're inside the harbour, then you're pretty much home.
Mm.
It's like having a car accident at the front gate.
Really. Yeah, in the driveway.
Yeah. So one of the things it does in the end is there's a number of inquiries around it, and it's the first wreck that sees some changes to the harbour and the way the harbour is used to make it slightly more safer. So the colonial government decided to put what they call a little light station. It's a floating light, like a lighthouse out the front of the Sow and Pigs Reef, which eventually gets put up. It takes some time as bureaucracy grinds along, but there's still a light station on that reef, so people now know where it is. And the other thing they do is they rebuild the signal station at South Head, which is up near the lighthouse on South Head. And this gets fitted out with night signalling equipment. So, and the pilots who are there, who are supposed to guide ships in, now become a 24-hour pilot service. So before that, they just worked during the day.
Yeah, right.
They realised.
Even though it was a huge disaster, at least there was a little bit of good out of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so this is the first time, like I said, that things start to change for the better for shipping in Sydney.
Mm.
There's not much of the wreck left. There's only two anchors left in the water. The rest of it was either smashed to pieces or, funnily enough, salvaged at the time and sold. So there were two options of all the stuff you could buy off it. But the Edward Loam still sits there, and it's the first ship we have that starts to make things a little better through its terrible tragedies.
Well, there you go. And that is, as we said, that's your official PSA. Do not jump on your boat and head out onto the seas. Mark, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Alex. See ya.